Welcome back to Relatively Damaged by Damaged Parents. Today, we have Kalina with us, Kalina Powell, and she's a young entrepreneur who loves to help people with their personal growth and educate others about the deaf community. Little do people know, Kalina is actually hard of hearing. She became deaf at the age of 4. She recently graduated with a psychology degree and is now starting her own online coaching business while launching a book. And then you have an Instagram page. I think it's like deaf. What is
queen
it?
Boss.
It's something boss. Yes, deaf queen boss. Because I'm thinking, yes, ma'am, just own it.
Today's topic includes sensitive material which may not be appropriate for children. This podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended as advice. The opinions expressed here were strictly those of the person who gave them.
Hey everyone, Angela Talent here, host of the Relatively Damaged podcast. I'm the author of Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent. As you may know, Cicero once said, a room without books is like a body without a soul. Well, I say a soul without poetry hasn't lived. Buy my book on Amazon, Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent.
Do you feel like a meditation failure? I know I did until I tried the iOS Breath and Heart app put together by the good people over at the Institute for Applied Meditation. I kept hearing about the benefits of meditation and was frustrated because I just couldn't sit there noticing my breath for any length of time. Thank goodness there's more than one type of meditation. I'm so glad this worked for me. Will it work for you? I don't know. Download the app and try it out. Breath and Heart. From I Am Heart.
Yeah.
So we are talking and we've got closed captions on the screen, which is actually we just discussed before recording how helpful it is to me and to you. And I'm not hard of hearing. So I think that's a fascinating thing that we have in common, that closed captions help. What are your thoughts on that?
I just thought that the closed caption took really long time to come in the picture. Because I noticed before when COVID started, I was having a difficult time hearing someone on Zoom. So I'm happy that they finally thought about it later on the road.
Yeah, I was really sad that I had to go in and find the setting, that it didn't come automatically turned on for me. Because, yeah. And it was not easy to find. So you became deaf at the age of 4. So I'm thinking you probably don't even remember hearing much.
I would say no. All I remember was when I was in front of the TV. My mom called my name so many times. However, the TV was loud. And she tapped on my shoulder. And I jumped. When I tell you I jumped. And my mom said, Kalina, I've been calling you. And I said, really? But then at the time, I didn't realize she was so close to me. I could hear her. But then I realized when she was talking, I think my hearing kind of dropped. And I looked at her dead in the face. And I said, wait. I can't hear you. And that's all I remember, going to the doctor the next day and they said, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do, clean up death. That's all the memories I remember.
Oh, wow. So beyond that, you don't really have a memory of being normal. I hate that word. I don't know how to explain it, but you don't have memories of a lot of hearing. What do you think? Because I think it would be hard if you didn't have hearing and then not hearing at school age, right? What do you think was harder for you because you couldn't hear?
So I actually went to two schools. I went to a deaf school and a hearing school. I went to a deaf school in the morning and a hearing school in the afternoon. So I was able to learn about myself even more in the deaf community versus the hearing community. However, the school was very difficult because a lot of teachers, I was actually the first deaf student, and they had no idea what they were doing with me, which is, I felt very unfortunate because as a teacher, you should know about accessibility. You should know about these tools, how can you accommodate a student, which is very a lot of lack of education. And it was just so sad that I couldn't fit in the hearing community when I was younger. And I felt like my personality when I go to a deaf community and then a hearing community. I
have so you're like two different people kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. That would be hard.
It was hard. It really was. I didn't even know who I was myself. I felt like I had a chip personality and it was just very difficult because and understand what was happening at the age of 4 going to school. I was like, why am I put in 2 different schools? Why am I put in 2 different communities? Why can't this community kind of understand me and the other one can? And that was very hard for me to navigate, especially at a young age of 5, 4. Yeah.
Yeah, around that. I would think so. It would be very confusing. You know, one of my siblings lost part, I think she's deaf in one ear, but we didn't know for a long time. And I didn't realize, for instance, that, you know, when I'm, of course I know now, but she tends to get really loud because she can't hear. And I did not realize that. I think that's actually kind of mean to me to tell her to be quiet now or to not talk so loud. And maybe I need to be talking louder. You know, what would you say, like, in situations like that where people really don't know how to react or how to respond, what should we be doing? Right. I mean, and I'm telling you, this is my sister.
The first thing I usually tell people, it happens all the time to me because people never approach me a deaf person. They said, you don't look deaf. You don't show your hair because my hair's always down. I always have a long hair. And usually I tell people is be really mindful how you approach yourself. That's number one. Number two, if you notice that they are deaf, ask them a simple question. How may I help you? And that's a perfect way of getting the conversation going, because there's some people don't feel comfortable opening up themselves with some certain people, not just the hearing community, but everybody in general. And that's a great way of approaching people. And, you know, just have a conversation, get to know them. Don't look at them just because they're deaf. Get to know them for their heart. And I know a lot of people tend to do too much in terms of, you know, they try to move the lip too much. Like, okay, can you hear me? Okay, like, don't do that.
Like overemphasizing the words, yes, which yes, probably makes it, maybe that makes it harder to read if yes, you read lips.
Yeah.
Oh, I never would have thought of that. I don't think I do that, but I don't think I would have thought of it if I was doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Now I'm really self-conscious.
Yes, very. And I would tell people to talk normal. It's okay. Honestly, we will tell you you're doing too much. For example, my stuff, I remember a coworker of mine, you know, he goes beyond, I respect that, but I said, hey, you're doing too much. I appreciate what you're doing. However, you're making me uncomfortable. So there's okay, a lot of ways. Yeah, there are a lot of ways where people can try to overstep. Like, okay, I'm going to order your food. Or, okay, don't do that. Right? You want to give them that confidence, the independent of being on that.
So almost like, I'm gonna tell you a story about, we were in a grocery store one time. Mind you, my hands don't work very well, right? Most people on the podcast know this, but a gentleman dropped his cane. And my caregivers are pretty well trained in that, let me ask for help, right? And I turned to my caregiver and I said, would you pick that cane up for him? I never asked him. And my caregiver looks at me and says, don't you think you might want to ask? And I was like, oh my gosh, the very thing that I asked them to do for me, I was forgetting. So I think sometimes we also, as part of a community, I don't know if you consider deaf as being part of a disability community. I think because I do want to get into all of that, because I think there's a whole nother culture, but it's really easy to forget. And what you're saying is don't do too much. And I think that really might come down to communication.
Exactly.
And not taking it personally. So if I'm the person doing too much, don't take it personally that Kalina is telling me, no, don't do that. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Don't take it personal. Sometimes people are used to it and people are comfortable the way how they are doing certain things. And it's just the way how they are. Sometimes I ask myself, well, don't you like some help? But then I realize that they've been independent for too long and they're not used to receiving the help. So that's the number other thing that people should be aware of.
Yeah. So asking the question. So if, let's say I think you're struggling for whatever reason, then, and I ask you, would you like some help? Then you have a choice at that point to say yes or no. Yeah. But just helping and just going and doing is not always helpful, because then you don't get to own your struggle, maybe is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to like the deaf community. And is it, because my understanding, I've known a couple of people, my sister also learned ASL, and she said it's just a whole different world. And it's almost, it's like a culture.
Literally, it is. It's very different.
Because I don't know that I see being deaf as a deficit. I think, I mean, yes, in this world where we, where, you know, my world, where every, what I hear is important, it is a, it would be seen as a deficit. But I'm thinking you probably, my understanding of the culture is that it's not a deficit. It's just who you are, kind of thing. Am I right in, or am I on the right track there?
Everybody's definition is different. It's very hard to say yes and no, because I know a lot of people from the deaf community do consider themselves having a disability, some don't. Me personally, I feel like it really depends on the situation that the person is facing. There's a difference. Let's say, for example, you're trying to get accommodation at work. If you have to work at the grocery store, you need accommodation. So it really depends on what situation it is, where you're looking at. Me personally, I do see being deaf can be part of disability. It really depends on the situation. But again, everybody's opinion is very different.
Okay. So I think what I'm hearing you say is yes and no. And I think that happens on a huge scale for all things that might be recognized as disabilities, right? So, yeah. And I say that because I also know that things that are considered disabilities, people don't even mark that they have a disability on a form because they don't see it as a disability, like diabetes or type 2 diabetes. While that's considered a disability, a person may not see it as a disability. Yeah. And so again, it would depend on that situation, which is really interesting and difficult to think about because, you know, it's like we need to, I think on some level there's pride and we have to have pride in who we are with that deficit. What are your thoughts there on how to do that, on how to have pride?
I will always tell people is to find the community. It's very important to find that because without a community, without understanding who you are, you won't get by it. Because I feel like a lot of time, yes, it is important to find the strength in yourself. It's very hard to, it's very easy to lose track of yourself. It's very easy to be caught up in your mind. And that's where a lot of time people really do struggle, especially the deaf community and the disability community, because they have so much things going on. They have a lot of baggage that they have to go through. And in order to find your pride, I would tell people, it's really just find out who you are. What is your need? What is the need that you don't need help with? What are the needs you do need help with? And be honest with yourself. And I always tell people, when you're not honest with yourself, you can't receive the help that you need. Because that's the most important thing.
So it sounds like it's a lot about understanding who you are. And maybe that support can be found in a family. Maybe a lot of times it not. Like, I know for me, I didn't have a tremendously supportive family with my disability. And I don't think they understood the difference between enabling and support. Does that also happen in the deaf community? Because I'm thinking all children with deaf or even adults who acquire the same, that problem later, families don't always understand.
It's very true. A lot of families don't understand. Sometimes families don't know how to accommodate properly and they don't bother doing the research or even helping, because especially someone who has a disability, they don't want to give the other person the baggage, the package to help them, because they feel, and I wouldn't say the word embarrassed, but they will lose the confidence in terms of how to be independent. So that's where sometimes it comes into picture, especially with family, right? We have to rely heavily on family. A lot of us don't. Like, for example, myself, like, when I go to the store, especially during COVID time, I have to rely on my family for everything. And I did not like that because I didn't want to show them that I was not independent. And sometimes they can go beyond and beyond. And I don't expect them to do that. And so it's literally the same thing, because you don't want your family members to feel like there's something, but not for them to stay, but for them to kind of like go over beyond, and you will lose your independence.
Right. So there is that fine line. So it sounds like really the most important thing is to have conversations about what is needed and what is not needed. And sometimes that can be a little bit awkward, especially. Definitely. I think too, if those of us with the disability are taking personally what's going on, right?
Yeah, especially going to a doctor's office is even worse.
Oh dear. Oh, please give an example. What do you mean about that?
For example, I had to go to a doctor appointment. It was so embarrassing. And I got, when I started dating, my mom wanted me to do birth control. You know, mothers are overprotective. And she's like, oh yeah, so you need to do birth control. So my doctor looked at me in the face and, should I have this conversation with you without your parents? Well, I mean, you have the mask on, so I can't understand what you're saying. So may as well. So it's very uncomfortable, but my mom is very open and honest because I was 21 at the time. So yeah, it was very uncomfortable, especially at 20. So, I got through it without my mom. So I told my mom to get out eventually. My doctor was saying, please go. And I'm like, okay. And so my doctor's like, so finally, my doctor had a strong Italian accent. So it's very difficult for me to understand him, what he's saying. And I'm like, oh my God, okay. So finally, when my mom finally left, I was able to understand him a little bit better. So he would talk really much slower, try to show me how to use it without my mom being present.
Wow. So even at the doctor's office, because I know this has actually been a discussion on the Disability Advisory Committee commission in the area I live in, but even at the doctor's office, they didn't have the mask where you could see the lips.
No, they did not.
Wow. Which I think is really interesting because it's the medical field.
Yes, exactly. It's medical field. How do you not have a mask? I'm so confused. And it's medical field. You guys study us. So I don't know. It would be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think that it would be one of the more accessible places. And even for maybe employees that acquire disabilities while working in those places, you would think that they would have accessibility built in. And it seems like they might not. And that's really interesting to think about.
Definitely. I didn't even thought about it because I'm thinking, going to the doctor's office, and the doctor knows I'm deaf. So I'm like, you must know that I look weird, and no.
Wow. I'm sorry. That's frustrating. And I'm just thinking to myself, how do I help shift that narrative, not just for people who can't hear, but all people with disabilities, because it really doesn't make a lot of sense, logically, intellectually, or, you know, but definitely not from a heart place of love, right? It makes absolutely no sense. I mean, geez. Oh gosh, I'm trying to think of what next I wanted to ask you. I mean, how did you come up with Deaf Queen Boss? You know, because that's a fantastic name. And I just wanted to call you the Deaf Boss, which was my problem earlier. I'm like, I know that's wrong.
It's okay. I know a lot of people asking that question. That name is so powerful. It's very strong. I feel like it suits me. And I said, honestly, I would literally grab a piece of paper before I became a content creator. But I said, no, let me make myself a name. So me and my little sister, because my sister is really big on technology. I feel like this is the younger generation, big on technology. And she was just meeting her writing, and I was writing deaf, and I knew I wanted something that's a deaf boss. I always put it myself as that. Everybody always called me the boss. I don't know why. I think I have that strong leadership in me that a lot of people call me boss. Like, oh yeah, she is the boss. Be careful. And I don't
maybe
know.
You just knew what you wanted.
I think so too. I think I just said, no, I'm gonna do it my way. I don't know. And I was just writing down names, Deaf Queen Boss, Boss Queen, and then I'm like, wait, I like Deaf Queen Boss. And then that's when I came up with Deaf Queen Boss, which was a lot of writing. It took me 2 days to come up with my name and my brand name.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, so my other question is, how hard was it? I mean, you were only deaf at the age of 4, which means to me that you probably had some ability to learn language, but much of your language wasn't learned, I'm thinking, until after that. And how did you do that? And I think a lot of people might have this question, right? When you can't hear, how do you learn to talk?
So because I became deaf before I began speaking, which I'm pretty sure I was. However, my doctor, because I actually asked my doctor this before he retired, and I asked him that question. I'm like, how come I'm able to speak? And because he was saying, a lot of time when you become deaf after you start speaking, you do continue speaking, developing your speaking. But however, if you became deaf before the age of 4, he said, that's when your vocabulary development speaking, your speech will start to delay. But because you were over 4 years old, you were able to kind of pass that. And second, I had a speech therapist. I had a speech therapist from grade 4 to grade 8. So I had a speech therapist. And cause that really actually helped me a lot with speaking and pronouncing words correctly. I do have some words that I cannot pronounce very well. So I'm not going to lie. I know some people are saying, hey, well, I'm like, no, there's some words I cannot pronounce. So it's not easy, but it's really about practicing. And I have my family who do not ESL. So I did not learn sign when I became deaf. A lot of people thought I did. I said no. I actually learned sign language when I went to the deaf school. But because I got out of the deaf school in grade 3, and that makes sense why they put me on speech therapy, because they knew that I need to build up in my speaking. And my family did not want me to continue ASL because they wanted me to be independent when I get older. And they were thinking realistically how, I never thought about this, but they said that a lot of time when you go to school and high school, the language options are not ASL. It's usually either French or Spanish. But there's no ASL courses that's been offered for a young generation. So that's why my family said no to ASL. So that was how I continued speaking.
Wow. Do you feel like by not knowing ASL all that time that it added to your difficulties?
I would say no, I did not have difficulty, but however, I wish I learned it so I can communicate with other people who are completely deaf. And who does ASL. And because now that I'm getting older, hearing aids are so expensive and there's people that choose to do ASL instead of relying on the hearing aids so much. So sometimes hearing aids doesn't always work well.
Right. And then you would have to figure out how to communicate outside
exactly.
of that.
Exactly.
That just seems so hard.
It's very hard. I tell people, you know, my life is not easy. How do you think it is? It's very difficult.
Right. And I'm thinking, though, like, from the perspective of, like, your parents and like, the society view is that we have to, as people with disabilities, we have to figure out how to fit into this world that we're not really meant to fit into, instead of helping shift so that everybody can fit. And that's sad to me. I want to see that shift and change because it's considered a disability, there are many things in everyone where everyone could use a little bit more support than what we are currently giving each other.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. So what would be the top 3 tips or tools that you would say for either someone who's becoming deaf as an adult or maybe parents with a child that's deaf and they're not, what would you say are the top 3 tips or tools that you would recommend?
So I do have 2 separate categories. So my advice or tips for parents, I would say one is do not be afraid to allow your children to feel uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is my mom literally forced me to join a sport team. Imagine that. I am deaf. I was like, I'm not doing this, mom. They won't understand me. And she said, you're going. And the reason why she did that was because she wanted me to learn how to interact with the hearing community. And 2, she was teaching me how to build my confidence. So do not be afraid to put your child in sports or anything like that, because it's very important to help them, because you are helping them. I don't care if they said, no, I don't like it. Just give it 2 weeks at least. Give it 2 weeks at least and see if they like it or not. Because sometimes you have to wait, right? It's all about being patient with your child, always. And the second thing I would say, always have open conversation with your family about your child's hearing loss. I see that a lot of children do not have an open discussion with their family or with their parents because they feel uncomfortable or they just don't want to talk about it. But you want to make sure that your child can come to you and be like, hey, like, mom, dad, like, my hearing loss, how come I can't hear you? You know, what a way that we can do. And third, lastly, I would say is that definitely try to find your child's community. Try to find where can your child can participate in sports in terms of, you know, the deaf community, if there are deaf center in the area that you can take your kid to. But also, too, you are more than welcome to put them in a hearing community as well. Because that way they understand what it's like to be in 2 different communities so that they know when they get older. Whether they are completely deaf or whether they do ASL or wear hearing aid, it does not matter. The goal here is to make sure when your child gets older, they can be like, oh, I can be independent. I can do that. So that is definitely the three tips I have for parents. For someone who is an adult who just became deaf, I know it's overwhelming. I know you don't like the hearing aids, and I know you don't like it. I have friends that became deaf at 25, and they're like, Kalina, how you do this? I don't like this thing in my ears. And I said, well, you're going to have to get used to it. But and at the same time being, you have to find out how far is your hearing loss. Study your hearing loss. Understand your hearing loss. Understand what can you do better. What is the thing that you need to work on when you become deaf? Because there's so many things you have to do. And secondly, do not take life for granted. I know a lot of us who become older and they become deaf, they feel like their life is downhill. Your life is not downhill. This is a new chapter. This is a new beginning. Maybe this is meant to happen to you. Like I always tell people, God never makes mistakes. Why? He does different things to different people. Just always be grateful. And the third thing I would say is be careful of your friends. Because we're getting older and as an adult, I know we have ignorant friends. If your friends are very ignorant and they can't be helpful to you or be polite, especially being deaf, it's very frustrating, especially having a conversation, a group conversation. If they can't do that, then they're not your friend. I had to learn that the hard way when I was growing up, and I had to cut up a lot of people because a lot of people would either want to take advantage of me, or two, they just thought like, because I'm deaf, they think I'm stupid. You're not stupid. You can do what you can do. If you feel like that friend's not supporting you or helping you out, cut them off. I know being an adult is hard because I am only 25 years old. I'm literally getting into the adult life right now.
I love all those points. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on the show, Kalina Powell. You can find her on Instagram at DeafQueenBoss.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see what the future holds for both of us. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey everyone, Angela Talent here, host of the Relatively Damaged podcast. I'm the author of Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent. As you may know, Cicero once said, a room without books is like a body without a soul. Well, I say a soul without poetry hasn't lived. Buy my book on Amazon, Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent.
Do you feel like a meditation failure? I know I did until I tried the iOS Breath and Heart app put together by the good people over at the Institute for Applied Meditation. I kept hearing about the benefits of meditation and was frustrated because I just couldn't sit there noticing my breath for any length of time. Thank goodness there's more than one type of meditation. I'm so glad this worked for me. Will it work for you? I don't know. Download the app and try it out. Breath and Heart. From I Am Heart.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Relatively Damaged by Damaged Parents. We really enjoyed talking to Kalina about how she learned to function successfully in both the hearing and the hearing loss worlds. We especially liked when she spoke about what it's like to go to the doctor with a hearing loss and the challenges she overcame. To unite with other damaged people, connect with us on Instagram. Look for Damaged Parents. We'll be here next week, still relatively damaged. See you then.